Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi, and the title of the shir tonight is The Brotherhood of Shimon and Levi. So tonight we're going to look at the end of the parsha where Yaakov is giving out brachos to his children before he dies. And one of the interesting brachos given out, it doesn't seem like a bracha, it seems more of like a criticism, is to Shimon and Levi. And they're clumped together in the in Yaakov's addressing them. So we'll look at the three psukim that deal with Shimon and Levi's bracha, and we'll try to understand, you know, what the Torah is trying to teach us about the personalities of Shimon and Levi. So if we look in source number one, Bereishis Parak Mem Tes, we'll read through the three psukim. It says, Shimon v'Levi Achim, Klei Chamas Mecherosehem. So Shimon and Levi are brothers, and weapons are tools of their lawlessness. Bisodam al tavonafshi bikawam al techad kivodi, kivi alpam hargu ish uvirtonam ikrushor. So in their, do not include me in their council, in their congregation, do not attach my honor, because in their anger they destroy the killed man, and in their will they maim oxen. Arura pam ki oz, the evrasam ki kashasa, achal kem biyakov afitzem biyisrael. Cursed is their anger because it is relentless, it's fierce, and their wrath is relentless. I'm going to divide them amongst Yaakov, and I'm going to spread them out over Yisrael. So the Torah teaches us, as I mentioned before, that Yaakov addresses both Shimon and Levi, and it's not so clear what the psukim are referring to, but we'll see from Rashi and the Midrashim what it's referring to. But it does sound like they are terrible people. It does not sound positive. Yaakov's address to Shimon and Levi. So the question is, what is he attempting to do with Shimon and Levi, and what's the nature of their flaw? It sounds like they're really terrible people. It sounds like they're murderers. So what exactly was the flaw of Shimon and Levi being addressed in the brachos of Yaakov to his two sons, Shimon and Levi? So that's the main question that we're going to take up. And we're going to try to analyze and assess the commonality between their flaws, because they're grouped together. So we'll start with source number two. It's Rashi on the Psukim, on Pasuk Hey. And it says, Shimon v'Levi Achim, Be'etza Achas al Shechem v'al Yosef. So Rashi mentions that Shimon and Levi, together, they decided to enact these two incidents. One is by Shechem, and the other one was by Yosef. Of course, by Shechem, the whole story, which we'll go through in a little more detail, but by Shechem, when Dina is taken and she's assaulted by Shechem, so of course, they devise a plan where they tell all the people of Shechem, that they, the men of Shechem, that they have to do bris milah. And then on the third day, Shimon and Levi destroy them, and they kill all the men in the city. So when it says Shimon v'Levi Achim, it's referring to their brotherhood when it came to deciding to kill all the members of Shechem. And the other one was on Yosef. So what's the reference to Yosef? So Rashi explains, Vayomru ish el achiv ve'atal v'chuv v'nahargeu. So another instance where we see that Shimon and Levi act in unison is by Yosef's, when Yosef was sold into slavery. So it says in the Psukim that a man said to his brother, let's kill him, referring to Yosef. Mihem, who were the brothers that wanted to kill Yosef when Yosef was coming to see them, to check on them? Im tomar Reuven o Yehuda. So if you want to say it was Reuven or Yehuda that were the brothers that wanted to kill Yosef, Hare lo hiskimu b'harigaso. We see that Reuven wanted to come back and save him. So obviously Reuven didn't want to kill him. And Yehuda, this was the one who advised the brothers to sell him instead of kill him. So who were the brothers that decided that they should kill Yosef? Im tomar b'nei ha-shvachos. Maybe they're the sons of the shvachos of Bilhah and Zilpah. Hare lo haisa sin asan shlema. They didn't hate Yosef as much as the other brothers. Shneamar v'hu nar es b'nei Bilhah v'es b'nei Zilpah. Because Yosef used to protect his brothers from the Shvachos, from Bilhah and Zilpah, against the other brothers. And then Yisachar Zvulun, it can't be Yisachar and Zvulun, lo yumidabrim b'fnei acheihem hagedolimehem. They would never speak in the presence of their older brothers. Al korchach Shimon v'Levihim shekaram aviyam achim. So it must be that Shimon and Levi were the ones, the brothers, that conspired to try to kill Yosef. So Rashi highlights again, just to summarize, Rashi highlights two instances where Shimon and Levi act with one another as brothers in a negative way. The first is by Shechem, as I mentioned before, and the second one is by Yosef, and Rashi deduces, and he rules out all the other possibilities, because the Torah never says openly that Shimon and Levi were the ones who wanted to kill Yosef, but he deduces that it was Shimon and Levi. Why? Because Reuven, we know, wanted to save Yosef. Yehuda was the one who advised them to sell him. Yisachar and Zvulun were younger, so they're not going to stand up in front of their brothers and say, let's kill him. And the Bnei HaShvachos, they didn't hate Yosef as much, because Yosef protected them. So who are the ones who wanted to kill him? It was Shimon and Levi. So the question, I think, is, you know, is there a commonality between these two flaws, by Shechem and by Yosef? Is it just that they're angry people and they're murderers, or is there a deeper flaw that exists between or within both of them that makes their ability to act together particularly dangerous? So let's go on in Rashi, just the upshot. Mecheroseihem. So the pasuk says that Shimon and Levi are brothers, and their weapons are tools of lawlessness. So what is Mecheroseihem? Look at Rashi. Lashon Klei Zayin. So it's a reference to weapons of war. Hasayif Belashon Yevani Mecher. So the sword in Greek is Mechir, so it's like Mecheroseihem, which is weird that Rashi's quoting Greek, but I guess Rashi's point is that the Greek is based on the Torah. Davar Acher, Mecheroseihem, what does it mean, Mecheroseihem? It could be weapons. Be'eretz Migurasam, in the land of their sojourning, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Nagu Atzman B'chli Chamas, they acted with these weapons. Kimo, Mecheroseihech Umoldosayech, Bezet Tirgum Shel Onklus, Ba'arat Hosavuson. So there's two pshats on Mecheroseihem. One is that it's referring to weapons, and the other is the place that they eventually would inherit. Okay, fine. So, but still, we still have the same question. What's the flaw of Shimon and Levi? Why is it that when they act together, it's particularly bad? And is there a common theme between Shechem and trying to kill Yosef? Is it simply that they were murderous? Because it seems hard to believe that these individuals, who we know as tzaddikim, were just these murderous people. We know that they were on a higher level. So what exactly was their flaw? Can we pinpoint their flaw on a more on a deeper, more analytical level? So if you look in source number 3, we should go back to each story, the story of Shechem and Yosef, and try to see the Mefarshim there and see if they point to a common theme. So usually with the shiurim that I give, I usually like try to set up the question, and at the end there's one big svara. But I think with this shiur, we're going to go through we're going to give like little svaras, and you'll see how everyone, all of them fit in with one another in the context of this bracha to Shimon and Levi. So in order to understand, I think it's always best to go back to the instances that the Rashi is referring to. One is Shechem. So if you look in source number 3, when Shimon and Levi decide on their plan to destroy the men of Shechem, Rashi says over there, Shnei b'nei Yaakov, Rashi says that the Torah calls Shimon and Levi two of the sons of Yaakov. And Rashi says, Banav Hayu, they were the children of Yaakov. V'afal pichei nagu atzmon Shimon v'Levi, kishar anshe anashim she'enam banav. So even though Shimon and Levi were Yaakov's children, they acted as if they were just random people and not related to Yaakov. Shelo notlu etza himenu. They never asked Yaakov for advice on this plan. So the first idea that Rashi and many other Mefarshim point out about Shimon and Levi is that one of the flaws that existed wasn't just the murderous nature, but they failed to ask Yaakov if they should do this. They failed to ask Yaakov if this was a good plan. And keep going in Rashi. Says, Ache dina lefi shemasru atzman aleh nikru acheha. So because they gave their lives for Dina, they're called her brother. They're her brothers. Betach shayu koavim umedrash agada betuchim hayu al kochos shel zaken. Sorry. So they were after Shechem did Mila, because they knew that they would be weaker, or they were reliant on the koach of Yaakov to succeed. So the first idea in the shir is that Shimon and Levi, they both presented themselves as if they weren't the children of Yaakov, and that's demonstrated by the fact that they never asked for advice. So that seems to be one of the key features. And then if you look further on in source number 4, at the very end of the story of Dina, there's this back and forth between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi. And it's very interesting. It's not clear whether Shimon and Levi were justified, but we do see one thing. So look in source number 4. It's Parak Lamed Daled, Pasuk Lamed, and Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So the Torah says, Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi, achartem osi. Lahavisheni b'yosheva arz baknani uvapriziv ani maseim isbar v'nesu alayvi kuni v'nishmati ani uvesi. So Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, you're troubled me. You have troubled me by doing this whole Shechem business and killing them all. Because all the people in the land, the Knani and the Prizi, they're going to attack me. And I'm very small in number, so we're going to get killed. You put us in danger. And it says, they say back, Vayomru haksono yalses achosenu. So it's a famous response, but they respond to Yaakov that should our sister be a prostitute? So they respond to Yaakov. So Yaakov says to them, you've caused this tremendous danger to me. And their response is, should our sister be treated like a prostitute and we shouldn't do anything about it? And look in source number 5, it says, Hachzona, Hefker, is our sister just Hefker? Is she just, anybody can have her? Es Achosenu, Yas Achasana, our sister? So we see another element of Shimon and Levi over here, which is that they talk back to Yaakov. They don't just listen to his tochacha. Yaakov is trying to give him tochacha. Your flaw was that you really, and I think I gave share on this in the past, but their flaw was that they should have consulted with Yaakov because there was a tremendous danger that they placed the Shvatim and the whole entire nation of Klal Yisrael in by doing this, and they respond and they fight back against Yaakov. So the Mefarshim don't bring down whether they were appropriate in this response or not, but we do see that they were capable of fighting against their father. So we see two elements of Shimon and Levi's personalities in the Shechem story. One is the Torah calls them Shnei Bnei Yaakov, and Rashi says they didn't act like his children. And then second, we see that when Yaakov gives them Tochacha, their father, it's almost like they don't treat him like their father. It's that they respond, then they talk back to him. So we see that commonality exists in Shimon and Levi, and I would want to define that as rebelliousness against authority. That Shimon and Levi were both personalities where they seem to work together in their ability to rebel against authority, to go against authority. But the question does that theme ring true throughout? So if you look in source number 6, the other story mentioned by Rashi was the story by Yosef. And let's look at the psukim. In source number 6, it says, "Vayiru oso merachok uvetarim yekrav alehem vayisnaklu oso lahamiso." Yosef was sent by Yaakov to check on the brothers, and when they saw him coming from afar, when the brothers saw him, before he got there, they conspired to kill him. "Vayomru ish elachiv hine balach alamos halazeba." So one brother said to his, or one man said to his brother, which is Shimon and Levi, "Here is this dreamer coming, the guy with the dreams." Shimon and Levi propose that they throw him into a pit and kill him, and then they'll say, "Oh, an animal ate him up," and we'll see what happens with his dreams. So, what was the real motivation of Shimon and Levi here? So, Rashi said that they were the ones who were responsible for this plan to kill Yosef, but what was their motivation? So, the Medrash over there says something interesting. Look in source number 7. So the Medrash says, "By Yosef, by Yomru Ishal Achiv, Elu Shimon Velevi." These are Shimon and Levi. Hine Bal HaChalamos. So this is the dreamer. She'asid Lahasiyam Leba'alim, Uluharidam Leshibud Ayide Chalamos, who ultimately wants to transfer us to masters and to bring us down into Shibud, into servitude, through his Chalamos. Halazeh Ba, and he's coming. There's two times where it says halazeh, ha'ish halazeh ha'olech v'halazeh ba. So there's two times where it uses that. But the beginning of the Medrash is interesting. It says that when Shimon and Levi saw Yosef coming, they say that he's the Baal Chalomos. What were they referencing? They're referencing that Yosef's Chalomos, his dreams, were that they all bow down and they're all servants of his. So that bothered Shimon and Levi. You see that Shimon and Levi said to each other, eventually he's going to be our master, we're going to be transferred to his rishus, and we're going to be meshuba to him, we're going to be servants to him. And that was what pushed them over the edge. That was what caused them to devise this plan to kill him. So again, we see a common theme in Shimon and Levi, and I think this is what Rashi is highlighting in the first element of the bracha of Yaakov to Shimon and Levi, which is that just like before, they didn't accept the authority of Yaakov, and they acted alone without consulting. So too over here, the reality or the fact that in the future they would once be servants to a different authority, to the authority of Yosef, was so troublesome to them that they couldn't They wanted to kill him. They couldn't accept being under the yoke of another authority. So that seems to be a common theme in Shimon and Levi's personalities. It seems like both of them together fed each other's desire to rebel and to not be subject to the authority of others. And either when it came to Yaakov, who is, you know, their religious authority, their father, they acted, you know, not in line with, they didn't ask him for advice, they just acted, and they talked back to him. And so too by Yosef, when they saw Yosef come, they immediately associated to the idea that Yosef was saying that eventually they would bow down to him, and they would be meshuba to him, they would be servants to him, and that Shimon and Levi couldn't tolerate. They couldn't tolerate being under the yoke of an authority. So that seems, it seems like that's the first element of Yaakov's racha. He's mentioning to Shimon and Levi that you're brothers, and you're brothers in the sense that klei chamas mechei rosehem, that you both are murderous, but the murderous element is a result of their ability to totally throw off the yoke of authority, to be able to stand up to authority, which in some instances we'll see is good, but in this instance was harmful and created or gave them the source for their anger and for their hatred. So we see that idea exists in Shimon and Levi. So the first idea of the shir, based on Rashi and what we looked at, is that Yaakov is addressing this aspect of Shimon and Levi. That Shimon and Levi are both the types of personalities that together join together to rebel against the authority and not accept the yoke of authority. So then we keep going in the bracha. The next pasuk is pasuk vav. So go back to source number one. It says Bisodom al tavo nafshi bikalom al techad kivodi kiv apam haragu ish uvirtonam ikrushor. So the Torah teaches us the pshat is that I should not be included in their council. My honor should not be attached to their congregation, because in their anger they killed man, and when they please they maim oxen. So what is this referring to? So the second part of the bracha is referring to the future. So look in source number 8. Bisodom al tavo nafshi. So what does that mean? Zem ma'aseh zimri. So the first reference is to the story of Shevet Shimon, where Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai, he was the individual that went out with Zimri. It was the story of Shimon. Zem ma'aseh zimri. K'shenikbitzu shvato shel Shimon lo'havias ha'midyanis lefnei Moshe. Sorry, it's not Shlumiel, it was Zimri, sorry. Zimri ben Salu. And he was with Cosby. And they were together in public. This is the story of Pinchas. So the whole Shevet Shimon got together in front of Moshe. V'amru lo zu asura o muteres. V'amru lo zu asura o muteres. So he said to Moshe, is this woman asur or muter? The Midyanis. In tomar asura, if you say that she's asur to me, bas Yisro mihi tiralach, who said that you can marry the daughter of Yisro? Al yiskor shemi bedavar. So Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, do not mention my name in this incident. Shenemar, Zimri ben Salu, Nisibes Avla Shimoni, the Lokasa of Ben Yaakov. So the Torah never mentions that Zimri ultimately came from Yaakov, because Yaakov's request in this bracha was that he not be mentioned in the incident of Zimri. So again, the story of Zimri ben Salu was the story where Zimri, he fell in love with this Midyanis Cosby, who were trying to convert the Jews to Avodah Zarah. He goes out in public and he says to Moshe, am I allowed to be with this woman? And Moshe says, and the response is, if you say no, then how could you marry Bas Yisro? And ultimately Yaakov says, don't include my name. That's what it means. Bisodam al tavo nafshi. My soul, my name should not be included. And we see that Yaakov is never mentioned in the story. And also, what's the next reference? Look at source number 8. Bikalom. Kishiyakil Korach Shuhu Meshifto Shalevi as Kola Eda al Moshe va'Aaron. So the Bikalom is referring to the story of Korach, that Korach was a Levi, and he was the one who fought against Moshe. And it says, Al Techad Kivodi, same idea. Al Yisiyached Imam Shemi, Shenamar Korach ben Yitzar ben Kahas ben Levi. Again, he says, don't mention my name, Yaakov's name, in the story of Korach. And it says in the Torah, when it refers to Korach and his lineage, it says Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, but it never goes back to Yaakov. Ben lo namar ben Yaakov. Never says ben Yaakov. Aval b'divrei hayamim, kishnis yachsu b'nei Korach al aduchin, namar ben Korach, ben Yitzhar, ben Kahas, ben Levi, ben Yisrael. But in divrei hayamim, it does go all the way back to Yaakov. So the question that has always bothered me, and now I think we have a better idea, is what's this concept that Yaakov didn't want his name mentioned in the story? Like, who cares? I mean, it happened, and it happens to be that Zimri was a descendant of Yaakov, and so was Korach. So why should Yaakov's name be left out? What's the idea of Yaakov's name being left out? So that's the question on this Rashi. But I think if you don't read the Pesukim before, you can't really understand this Rashi. But I think with the idea that we mentioned, we can understand Rashi a little bit deeper. So keep going a little bit. Al Techad Kivodi, the next part of Rashi. Kavod Lashem Zacharhu. So we can skip this Rashi. It's a diktuk. And then it says, Ki Be'apam Haragu Ish. Elu Chamor V'Anshe Shechem. So again, Yaakov references the idea of Shechem. Ve'enam Chashuv and Kulam Eliki Ish Echad. That they were just like considered in the eyes of Shimon and Levi as if they were one person. They killed them all in one easily. Ve'chenu Omer Begidon. So the Medrash is that Shimon and Levi, they thought of the Anshe Shechem as if they were just one individual and they were able to destroy him quickly. So we see, though, again, Rashi references in this part of the bracha to Shechem, and at the end it says, Ratzu Lakors Yosef. Again, a reference to Yosef. They wanted to kill Yosef. Shenikra Shor. Yosef is called the Shor. Shenamar Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo. So it says Bechor Shoro. So we see, again, that Rashi mentions the stories of Shechem and the story of Yosef, of Shimon and Levi trying to kill Yosef. But he ties it to two other elements. He ties it to the story of Zimri ben Salu, which is the story of Pinchas, where Yaakov says, don't attach my name. And also to the story of Korach, where, again, Yaakov says, don't attach my name. So the question is, why doesn't Yaakov want his name attached? What is that concept? So does anybody want to try a possibility before I give a svara? Why would Yaakov not want his name to be attached to the idea of Korach and the idea of Zimri? Was it just that it's embarrassing for him, or is there a deeper idea? Is there a deeper concept? So if nobody wants to, if anybody wants to speak up, just stop me. It's fine. But if you look in source number 9, I think the Radak kind of highlights what I want to say on this idea and try to explain it. So look in source number 9. It says, Bisodam, Kishinis Yatsu V'Nikalu B'Maseh Shechem. Again, he mentions that when they decided and derived their plan by Shechem, Loba Nafshi Imahem. Yaakov is saying, my soul wasn't with them. Velo asu ba'atsasi, they didn't ask me for advice. Masha asu, on that which they did. V'chafal inyan b'mila shonos v'amar teichad lashon nekeva ki hakavod hu hanefesh. So Yaakov is saying again over here that they never asked me for permission. They never asked me what to do in the story of Shechem. And also at the end of the Radak, he mentions the idea of the Medrash again by Shor by Yosef. So what is the idea? The idea is now makes sense. See, the whole flaw of Shimon and Levi was rebellion, that they rebelled against authority. And that personality trait was expressed in their two descendants. In the descendant of Shimon, by Zimri ben Salu, it was a complete and utter rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. It was an embarrassment to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they go in front of Moshe, and Zimri says, is this woman Usher or Mutter? And if not, then how can you marry Bas Yisro? And same thing with Korach. Korach was rebelling against Moshe, and Moshe's choice of Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, and it's the same exact flaw being presented in the future. The same flaw of Shimon and Levi, which is that the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they couldn't tolerate it. So they followed the path of, at least by Zimri, it was his lust for the Midianis, and by Korach, it was the ego. But it pushed them to fight against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were able to break that authority in public, try to cause a rebellion in public. And of course, they were destroyed in the story, each of them. But we see that the same character flaw exists in both stories. Now we can understand why Yaakov doesn't want his name attached to them. Because the idea is to teach us, is to highlight the flaw that existed in Shimon and Levi and that persisted in the future. And what was that flaw? That they failed to ask Yaakov. They failed to ask the authority, the ultimate authority, which is Yaakov. But of course, in those particular instances, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's to show us that the same flaw that existed by Shechem, which is that they never asked Yaakov for advice, and they just acted despite Yaakov's objections, so too that persisted onwards. And that's why Yosef, so that's why Yaakov's name shouldn't be mentioned, to reflect what their flaw was in these instances. It's the same flaw. It's to teach you that there's a commonality between the flaw that existed in Shechem and the flaw that exists here. In both situations, they didn't ask for advice, and they just fought against authority, and they were able to rebel against the yoke of authority, and that's why Yaakov doesn't want his name mentioned. It's not because it's embarrassing for him, but it's to reflect the flaw that exists, which is that they ignored the insight, and they ignored the wisdom of the authority, which was Yaakov. So the absence of Yaakov is to give us this beautiful insight into the personality of Shimon and Levi, that the reason why Yaakov is absent is because they treated him as if he was absent. It's because they treated him as if he was of no use to them. He was of no value to them, even though Yaakov was an elder and he was wise and he could have advised them in the appropriate direction. So we see that this theme keeps highlighting itself throughout the bracha. First, Yaakov talks to them about the actual events of Shimon and Levi, and then he shows them how their personalities affect the future, and how the Shimon and Levi, how their personalities of rebelliousness ultimately affected or created these incidents where Levi and Korach rebel and where Zimri ben Salu of Shimon rebel. It's because of their failure to ask for advice, their failure to respect authority, and that's what caused it. So finally, at the end, we see what the solution is. So go back to source number one, Pasuk Zayin. It says, Arur apam ki oz, ve'evrasam ki kashasa. Achal kem bi Yaakov, v'afitim bi Yisrael. So cursed is their anger because it is fierce, and their wrath is relentless. I will divide them in Yaakov, and I will spread them out in Yisrael. So what is this? This is the solution. This is Yaakov's solution as to how to correct the flaws of Shimon and Levi. So let's look at what it means practically. So if you look in source number 10, Rashi says, Arur apam ki oz, afilu bishas tochacha, lo kilel ela apam. Even when Yaakov is rebuking them, he only curses their anger. He doesn't curse them. So, v'zeo she'amar Bilam ma'ekov lo kabo el. So that's what it says. By Bilam, how could I curse when Hashem doesn't curse? So the first idea we see in Rashi over here is that Levi and Shimon themselves, personality-wise, they were in tzaddikim. It was their anger. Meaning, once they allowed this rebelliousness to engage, to act on this rebelliousness, that's when the flaw persisted and existed, the anger. But it's not them. They're not being cursed. So we see that Levi and Shimon, they were great individuals. They weren't actually punished for what they did by Shechem. The punishment wasn't in killing the individual Shechem. It was for the lack of authority. But still, they were still great tzaddikim. It was just their upham, their anger, that was cursed. And it says, here, hargu ish, derech chal kumo ish, Kamo v'ish Yisrael nigash v'adomim lo v'chein shor kamo kivasas paro v'adomim lo. He says, ki efshar shalachu ksasa behemos imam v'ikru katsasam. So he says that the pshat is that they took a lot of animals from Shechem. V'yesh mefarshim ikru kamo hirgu. So some say that ikru is like killing. Okay, so that's Rashi. The main idea I wanted to bring in from Rashi was the first part, that you see that they're not cursed, but their anger is cursed. But what was the solution here? So if you look in the Medrash, and we'll see Rabbeinu Bachya and those explain what happened here. So the Medrash in source number 11 says, "Ki az arur apam ki az shelo natlu etza me'aviyem kishahalchu la'arug Shechem ben Chamor." Again, the same idea keeps being highlighted. They never asked Yaakov for advice. The evrasam ki kashasa, and their wrath is fearless. Arur ka'asam ki kasha. And their ka'as, their anger, should be cursed because it's very hard. If Shimon and Levi were allowed to live together, the world would not be able to exist. So what's the solution? I'm going to divide them up and spread them out. So the first idea is that what does it mean that they were spread out? So Levi and Shimon, they were involved in Torah. Levi was a teacher. Was Yoram Mishpatech Yaakov was from Levi. And Shimon, I skipped Rashi. I should have done Rashi, the last Rashi. But they were Malam de Tinokos. They were the ones who taught children. So the first solution that Yaakov has is to spread them apart, because it seems like their rebellion fed each other. And also, hopefully, learning itself would be able to transform their emotions, their personality traits to the good, toward the proper goal. So that's the Medrash. The Medrash says that Achalkim b'Yaakov afitim b'Yisrael is a reference to the idea that they would be spread out in the Bate Midrashos and the Bate Knesios, meaning that Hashem placed them in an environment where they were separated and they were amongst Torah in order to be able to sublimate or move their personality into the good, into the, what's proper. I skipped Rashi, but Rashi is really important. Look back in source number 10. Achalkim b'Yaakov afridim zemizeh. So I'm going to separate them. Shluya Levi b'minyan ha-shvatim. Levi was not counted. Varehim chalukim. They were all separate. Davar acher. Another possibility is in lecha aniyim v'sofrim umalam de tinokos ela mishimon. The only poor people in Klal Yisrael were from Shimon, and they were poor teachers. They taught the young children. Kadeshu nefutzim, so that they would be spread out amongst Klal Yisrael. So Shimon were the people who were knocking on your doors and asking you for tzedakah. That was Shimon. And Shifto Shalevi aso mechazel agronos latrumos lemaestros nason lo tvutzaso derach kavon. And so too Levi. Levi was dependent on Klal Yisrael for trumos and maestros, and they would go to the threshing floors to ask people and put out their hands so that they would get their matnos kahuna. At least there was more kavod by Levi, but the same punishment, which was that they would be spread out amongst Klal Yisrael, and they would be poor. So the Rashi says that, what was the punishment to Shimon and Levi? The punishment was that they would be spread out all over Klal Yisrael, and they would be dependent on Klal Yisrael for their sustenance. So it seems like Rashi's taking a different approach from the Medrash. Rashi's saying that Shimon and Levi's flaw was that they couldn't tolerate the authority figures. So the solution was to place them in a situation where they were dependent on their livelihood, on their food, on their sustenance from others. By making them dependent from others, it forced them to deal with their rebelliousness. It forced them to deal with the idea of being under the authority of others because of their need for dependence on others for food and for sustenance. So Rashi and the Medrash point out that Yaakov's bracha to Shimon and Levi was a way to correct their flaw. And the bracha was either, according to Rashi, that they should be spread out and be poor, because by being poor, they would be forced into a relationship of dependency. And by being forced into dependency, it would shut down this desire, this extremeness of rebellion. And the other possibility is what the Medrash says, which is that they're placed in an environment of learning, so that they can transmit those emotions of rebelliousness into learning, and into the idea of learning Torah. So there is a good to those emotions. And if you skip to number 13, the Rambam says, and this always bothered me about this bracha of Shimon and Levi, the Rambam says, Yaakov Avinu, it's part of the Rambam, it's Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, I think I've done this for sure many times, the Yaakov Avinu Lamad Banav Kulam, Yaakov taught his children, V'hivdil Levi, Uminahu Rosh, Levi was separated, and he was placed as the head, the Hoshivu B'Yeshiva, L'lamed Derech Hashem. Levi was separated from the brothers, to be the kolel, the person in kolel, the person who learns, the lishmor mitzvos Avraham, and to guard the mitzvos of Avraham, v'tziva es banav shel yafsiku b'bnei Levi memuna achar memuna kedei shlo tishkach alimud. Levi, there was a tzivoy that Yaakov gave to the brothers, that there should always be leaders from Levi, so that the Torah should not be lost, and the learning should not be lost. V'haya davar holdeich u'mizgaber b'bnei Yaakov, and this was the formula to create, you know, a nation that knows Hashem. So what's interesting is that Levi is depicted in the Rambam, and also we saw this, I think, in the Gemara. It's not just the Rambam. Levi is depicted as this great scholar, as the one who's entrusted with ensuring the survival of the Torah amongst Klal Yisrael. And Levi, in fact, we see in Mitzrayim, Levi wasn't forced to work because Paro had a respect for the religious class, and Levi was involved in maintaining the Mesorah. But on the other hand, we see that Levi was this individual with this tremendous rebelliousness and this tremendous desire, and even to the point where Levi was able to kill with Shimon and kill individuals because of the rebelliousness. So we see that normally our idea of a chacham is a meek person, But we see that Levi was the opposite. So Levi was the greatest Chacham of the brothers. Even amongst Yehuda and Yosef, Levi was the one who was separated. But we see that part of the personality of Levi was that ability to be rebellious, that ability to fight the yoke of authority. And that's an important feature in learning. And that's why I think Levi was chosen. Because not only did Levi have the mental capacity to maintain the Mesorah, but Levi had the appropriate personality that sometimes the Chacham has to fight against the authority. Sometimes the Chacham has to do something independent of the authority, as long as he's guided by the Torah system. When he's guided by, you know, his desire, his aggressiveness, then it's a tremendous flaw. But when the Chacham is driven by, even though there's a rebelliousness, but when he's driven by his thought and his knowledge of Torah, so then it's a tremendous benefit. So we see that Levi, even though Shimon and Levi together were dangerous, and the Medrash says that if they lived near each other, if they were near each other, it could cause the destruction of the world, because the rebelliousness of Shimon and Levi could destroy Klal Yisrael. So that's why they were separated. On the other hand, we see that Levi was the one who was chosen to be the Chacham amongst the brothers. He was chosen to ensure the survival of the tradition of Torah, and I think the reason is because to teach you that a Chacham needs both aspects. He needs to be a Talmud Chacham, needs to be somebody who's intellectually superior, but also somebody who has the ability to stand up when everybody's doing something, the ability to fight against the grain, to go against the grain sometimes. And that's rebelliousness, and that rebelliousness existed in Levi, and that's why he was separated. And Shimon also had that, but together their rebelliousness fed off each other. So just let me just go over the shiur just quickly. There's really, the question is that we have three psukim in the bracha of Shimon and Levi in this week's parsha, and we address each pasuk. The first pasuk, Rashi says, is referring to the stories of Shechem and Yosef, and he mentions that not only were Shimon and Levi responsible for destroying Shechem, but they were also responsible for the desire or for almost killing Yosef. So the question that we had was, what is this flaw? Is it just that they're angry and they're murderous, or is there a deeper flaw? And furthermore, is there a commonality between the two stories? So in highlighting and looking at Rashi and the Mefarshim on the two stories, it seems like there was a commonality. The commonality seemed to be that Shimon and Levi could not tolerate the yoke of authority at times, and they had this desire to rebel, and the rebelliousness was somewhat a cause of their actions. We see that in Shechem, because they didn't consult with Yaakov, and they talked back to him. And we see that by Yosef, because what really caused them to want to kill him was this knowledge that the dreams implied that at one point in the future they would be subservient to Yosef. They couldn't tolerate this idea of subservience to Yosef. So both those are a common flaw that existed between Shimon and Levi, and it sounds like alone they wouldn't be as harmful, but together they fed off their desire for rebelliousness, and that's why they became this fighting team. The second pasuk references the future of Zimri, who came from Shimon, and Korach, who came from Levi. And it says that Yaakov didn't want his name to be mentioned in the stories. And then Rashi again compares it to Shechem. So what is that idea of Yaakov not wanting his name involved? So it's the same concept. See, the flaw of Shimon and Levi, which persisted by Korach and Zimri, was this rebelliousness, this ability to fight against the wisdom of authority. And Yaakov was trying to not just be, he didn't want to not have his name because he was embarrassed, but he didn't want his name there to highlight what their flaw was, which is the ignoring of the authority, the idea that they did not ask for advice, and the same flaw persisted onwards, and that's what was ultimately somewhat the cause of Korach and Zimri, that this personality trait existed in the Shevet, and it allowed these individuals to really fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yaakov wants to highlight the flaw. He says, don't put my name there, meaning I was absent in these decisions. And that's the flaw, that they didn't consult with me, they didn't consult with the authority, instead they just fought against it. And then finally, what was the solution? So there was two real solutions. According to the Medrash, they were placed in an environment of learning around Klal Yisrael in order that they have an opportunity to transform these emotions into Torah learning. And the other is that they were really poor. Levium in general and Kohanim were poor. There's a Gemara that mentions that, that the Levium and the Kohanim would be begging for food, and even though they were supposed to be treated with kavod, they actually were, in general, poor people. And so too, Shimon was a poor Shevet, and the reason for that is, according to Rashi, I believe, that they should learn from their dependence on people that sometimes you need to be under the yoke of authority. You sometimes need to be dependent on others, and you can't just rebel. Otherwise, you know, you're liable to be harmed and to be ultimately to be killed and to be left alone. So you need to be dependent on other people, and that dependence somewhat shuts down, or at least quiets that desire to rebel. And then the last point that I mentioned was Levi. That Levi was this incredible individual who was chosen by Yaakov amongst the brothers to be entrusted with the Mesorah, and yet we see that Levi was this murderous person. So what's the commonality? So the commonality is that a Torah scholar, the one who's entrusted with Mesorah, has to be both types. He has to be a person who's intellectual, and that's what Levi was. He was chosen to learn because of his intellectual superiority and his gifts. But also, it's important that at times the Chacham be able to go against the grain and to be able to fight against the norms. And that takes a certain amount of rebelliousness. Just one last point before I end. We see this also by Levi when after the Egel, who is a Shevet that were willing to kill their brethren? It was Levi. All the other Shvatim who were involved in the Egel, they didn't have any individuals who weren't that were willing to go as far as kill other Jewish people. But Levi was the one who was able to push themselves to fight on behalf of Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see the same type of idea of going against the grain, of being able to stand up and be independent of what's happening around them. And that's also something that happens, or that happens to be a character of rebelliousness, of being independent. So too, it was a good over there in that situation. It was a tremendous good. That's why they were rewarded with working for the Kohanim, being Misharsei Kohanim. So anybody have any questions? Hopefully it was clear tonight. Any questions? Anybody want to add anything to the share? It's